Go to the translation in the purport. Translation. My Lord Nrsingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. So the text says people who are not cared for by Krishna can do whatever they wish, but their solutions are momentarily effective. They're just not permanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Let us hear carefully the purport. Through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of disease, and through means of protection on the water, in the air and on the land, there's always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them, parental care, remedies for disease, none of all this is guaranteed measures for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father and mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord, and no one who takes shelter of the Lord. No. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord, and one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Kauntiya pratijanaihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. So I think you have all followed attentively, but just to help us to come to a summary of what Srila Prabhupada said up to this point is he made a very thought-provoking statement where we have to check if we can we understand what he says. He says nothing, medicine, parental care, even a boat on the water can help a person who is not protected by the Lord. Now, this could be misinterpreted to mean that we should not take medicine, or when we drown, we shouldn't look for a water, for a boat. But this is a subtle point of Prabhupada. He says, one should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although, as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures, no one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature, but everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even those so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the real sufferings of the material world are four: janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt, now Prabhupada speaks about his effort. He had said that politicians should wake up to the fact that no material arrangement can protect anyone from these four miseries, and therefore they should preach that people take shelter at Krishna's safe security giving lotus feet. Now he says our humble effort or humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the milost of the Supreme Lord. Milost means mercy. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world, in either the upper or lower planetary systems. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world, in either the upper or lower planetary systems. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitanando Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This verse is about, again, our subject from yesterday, faith. Faith in the Lord's protection. Once a god brother of mine told me an amazing story how he was protected by the Lord, even though the situations around him were totally life-threatening. He told me that before coming to Krishna consciousness, he was very depressed. And one day, when he woke up, he was ready to do it. He left the home with a rope and a revolver. Revolver is like a pistol. And a heavy poison. At around 4 o'clock, he arrived at the place he had planned to arrive. He put a rope, it was a bridge over an abyss, you know, it was going very deep, like 500 meters in Switzerland. There is some, if you, anyone. So what he did is he swallowed poison. No, actually, first he put the rope around his neck and he tied it at the bridge. Then he swallowed a very strong poison, and then he took the pistol and shoot in his mouth. And as he was shooting in his mouth, he was falling from the bridge into the abyss. He still lives. Because this is what happened to him. The Lord somehow protected him. When he was shooting himself in the mouth and falling from the bridge, or jumping from the bridge, the bullet passed through his neck and shot the rope. Then he fell down long way but there was a river inside, and when he fell into the river, the shock was so tremendous for his stomach that he, I don't want to say it before the deities, no, don't, let us not say this word, that the poison came out, in other words, in a natural way, and the river just brought him to the bank of the river, and he was saved. The medical people, he went out, he had lost some blood, but medical people could easily take care of the wound because it had not hurt the spinal cord. There was a bullet passed through, but it's not a problem as long as it does not slash the vein here, the jugular vein, or the spinal cord. And he's living, and he has understood. Although he made four attempts, you know, took poison, he hanged himself, shot himself, and fell down the abyss, it was not that the Lord wanted him to become a devotee. And he used this, and he became a devotee. He is shy to tell this story because it showed a very depressive mood, and we hope that he has overcome this depression now. But it is a sign how the Lord took care of him, although he did not take care of him himself very nicely. This point of the Lord's protection is very, very strong. If it is there, nothing can keep you, can be harmful for you. But if the Lord's protection is not there, you can make all the arrangements which you want in the world, and you will not be successful to be protected. Therefore, Prabhupada draws this conclusion, very nice conclusion, very devotional conclusion. He says, if we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world, in the upper, in either the upper or lower planetary systems. So this turning to Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it as a certain inclination which he calls antarmukha. He says there are two souls in this world, the bahimukha souls and the antarmukha souls. The bahimukha souls turn to outside remedies for ultimate protection. But the antarmukha souls, they turn always to Krishna. Are you an antarmukha jiva or are you a bahyamukha jiva? This is not for public hand raising. It's a very private question. You should please ask yourself. Where do you take shelter, my dear devotees, when the environmental situation or circumstances in your life are shifting. Do you take shelter in Krishna, or do you want to take shelter in material things? For instance, when marriage is not good, would you like to take a divorce to end the pain, or would you like to pray to Krishna, please help in this situation? When your health is not good, is all your faith in the medical system of America, or do you turn to Krishna? It's a question which is a deep question which every one of us has to answer on a very personal level. If you take shelter in external things, they won't. If it's not your not Krishna's will, it won't work for you. And if you have no protection, in the case of this distressed young man who took these four measures to end his life, he was not successful in doing it because the Lord had another plan for him. The Lord is most important. Now this is, of course, coming to yesterday's subject, Shraddha, and I have three lectures arranged on the subject of Shraddha, and I'm very grateful to Nityananda Prabhu that although I'm not so qualified to speak on spiritual matters, he has allowed me another chance to come now to the second part of this lecture on Shraddha. This will be a little mind opening for you, so we will start today that this faith or Antamukha Shraddha, this inner faith to Krishna, is the only and therefore the absolutely necessary qualification to enter bhakti. Let me repeat this because it's difficult English. This faith is the only and therefore necessary qualification to enter into the palace of bhakti. In all other paths, like jnana, yoga, or karma, you have to have very high qualifications to do to become successful. In the Karma Kanda rituals, you have to perform the rituals with so much accuracy. Even a small little mispronunciation of one mantra in a karmic ritual can have disastrous effects. And there are narrations in the Bhagavatam to this effect. In Jnana Yoga, you have to be mind and sense controlled in order to make even the first levels of Jnana Yoga. In the Ashtanga Yoga, my God, you have to follow rules, and you have to go through excruciating practices in order to finally detach Purusha from Prakriti, or the soul from matter. In bhakti, there's only one qualification which you need, and that is Shraddha, faith. But if you don't have this qualification, goodbye for your immature attempts at bhakti. It won't work. If you do not bring Shraddha, which is the beginning of the bhakti path, to the practice, you won't make it. Shraddha in the beginning is komal, or very weak. And it is supposed that as you advance, your Shraddha doesn't become weaker, but it becomes stronger, up to nishtha, unshakable faith, and so on. Now, as you now hear, Shraddha, faith, you must now ask yourself the question, okay, I have to have faith in bhakti, but can you tell me precisely in what I must have faith in order to advance? Faith is like an arrow. It needs to be directed towards a goal in order to be effective. If you say faith, have faith, yes, good. But in what precisely I should have faith? According to Madhurya Kadambini, which is really a summary of the bhakti path, faith has two resting places. It must be placed in two things. I would like to read to you the relevant verse. It's not really in verse, it's in prose. Tata bhaktyadikarinam pratamam shraddha. You know, that is, the adhika or qualification for bhakti is shraddha. We heard this. And it must become dritta, firm faith. So, shraddha of faith is the first stage which the candidate for bhakti must reach. And this shraddha means two things. First, to have firm belief in the scriptures of bhakti. Here you must start with your shraddha. Second, it also means the solemn, the singular aspiration to attentively follow the path of devotion as described in those scriptures. Let me summarize. You must have faith in the scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and other related shastras. And second of all, you must develop faith in the process, in the sadhana, the practice or the upaya, the means to get to the upaya, the goal. Very important. If I don't have faith in the scriptures telling me about America and I ignore them, that no, there is no America, I don't believe the touristic scriptures, you know, I'm giving an example now, then how can I start even contemplating of going to America? And if I don't have faith that the Berlin, what is it called, what did we have, Air Berlin. That this company can fly me over the ocean and bring me to Al Capone's town, Chicago, and from there to cowboy town, Dallas. I will have no hope to ever come to Shri Radha Kalachanji. So, if you don't have faith in the Shastra, which tell you about the Lord, and about the means how to come to the Lord, it will not work, this process, for you. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it said, firm faith, Shraddha Shabde, Vishwas kohe sudrita nishchai, Krishna bhakti koila sarve karma krita hoy. So the word shraddha means shabdi. Shabdi means in the word of the scripture. Shabda Brahman, revealed Brahman, the revealed scriptures. One must have this faith in the engaging in devotion to Krishna, all his other obligations will automatically be fulfilled. I would like to remain on this Bengali Shraddha Shabda. You must have faith in the Shabda, the revealed words of the scripture. A devotee will typically say, I am blind, I'm covered with a material body, a material senses, and a material interpretation machine called the mind, which is fully under the three modes of guna, and the modes of nature. How can I ever see with this blind eyes and this blind mind the Lord? Such a person who understands his predicament, that I am actually with my knowledge acquiring senses and my mind not able to come even close to the transcendental Lord, will get loses his faith in material attempts to reach the Lord, and he understands, I need direction from the scriptures which are spoken by my Lord. And he gets hope in his heart when he reads in the scripture that Krishna's Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotees, he gets hope. Oh, he loves me, my Lord. He gets this information from the scriptures. The Lord loves me. He is Dina Bandhu. Oh, the friend of the fallen. That's me. The Lord has some interest in me. I cannot think of him. I cannot think him, I wanted to say. Can think of him when I have the information of the Shastras, but I can't construe him by my mind and my process of conceptualization. But he is Dinabandhu, he is the friend of the fallen, and he can come to me. I cannot come to him, but Shastra says he is interested in me. So the scriptures is really the ray of hope which comes into this world, because it shows me the path, although I'm blind. It gives me the eyes. The scriptures are our only friend, our only hope in this world. And if we don't have faith in the Shastras, nothing will work for us, not even chanting. If you do not believe in the revelations of the Shastras about the holy name and make an offense against the scripture by saying this is some exaggeration, some pious jibba-jabba, means incoherent words who are not true, then you make an offense against the holy name and you will not reach Krishna. The Shastras have come to us who are in darkness. Do you know? Do you know this? How when Krishna was still on planet Earth, Kali had to wait outside the Earth because he couldn't enter as long as Krishna was there. So when Krishna left the planet, he turned around and saw Kali entering. Now I can go and twist people's minds. I can do my work in the absence of God. He felt so much compassion that he manifested a pratinidhi rupa, that means a representation of his form, called Srimad Bhagavatam. You have said almost the Srimad Bhagavatam. It came. Dharame, what is the shloka? You know better than me, you are exalted scholars. Krishne Svadhamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Bisaha Kalo Nashta Drisham Esha Puranako Dunodito. You know everything, right? Like the sun. The Bhagavatam has risen after Krishna has left the planet, and with the Bhagavatam jnana, knowledge which you need to have. That's where you get your light from, when you stumble in the darkness. Can I request you something? I can. Please, my dear devotees, read every day in the Bhagavatam. If it's only one verse, the Padma Purana says. If you can't read one verse because you are not able to read one verse, read half a verse. But you must have light to walk. You must have spiritual life to walk on your spiritual path. Therefore, take shelter or take advantage of the Lord's merciful gift to you, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's so important. Do it nityam. Nityam means regularly. Therefore, Prabhupada instituted in the temples the practice of regularly reading the Bhagavatam. Every day it's there. No? It is the sadhana in Kali Yuga to read Bhagavatam. It's very, very necessary. And so Vishwanath Chakravarti says the first type of faith in order to develop in bhakti is to the Shastras. In this world we have tamasi shraddha, faith induced by the mode of ignorance. That means I have faith that if I do sense enjoyment, then I make advancement in my life. Although this has never worked, no one ever became happy, but everyone becomes more distressed and anxiety ridden. People have this tamasi faith, or they have rajasic faith. By my own efforts, I can improve my situation. No, this is not good. People have sattva faith, that is, by some spiritual processes my life will be improved. But we devotees should develop nirguna faith. Nirguna faith, according to the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, means faith in the Lord. My Lord can protect me. I should make contact with Him through the Bhagavatam and the holy name. Such a devotee who understands, who is antamukha, understands a life without worshipping Krishna becomes intolerable, and therefore he thinks surrender to Krishna is natural. Someone who has faith, it will be easy for him to surrender. Jiva Goswami says, therefore, in Bhakti Sandarbha, Shraddha and Sharanagati are considered to be the same. Faith and surrender are the same. The devotee thinks in this way. The scriptures tell us that by surrendering to Krishna, one becomes fearless. And if one does not surrender, one remains fearful. Let me therefore surrender. This is what the faith in the Shastras means. Shastras tell me, I do it. There are many more. I will not go too fast here. There is Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked a very interesting and intriguing question. Most probably you heard this question before. I will I warn you, when you hear this question again, it might totally unsettle and disturb you. Can I nevertheless ask the question of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? It is the question, whose prayers does Krishna hear? You think, well, whose prayers? You mean, doesn't he hear every prayer? Yeah, he may hear everything, but the English word, when you put the hear in this constellation of words, the verb hear, whose prayers does Krishna hear? It means something like listen to, in this context. Whose prayers does Krishna seriously listen to? And he answers the question in the first song of his Sharanagati song collection. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, listens to the prayers of one who cultivates the six principles of surrender, to the surrendered soul. Let us think, isn't that natural? If someone comes to you and says, can you tell me please how I can come to downtown Dallas? You will see, is that person serious, or is he just wanting to rob my purse? Thieves start with such a question just to make contact, and then you will see, is he serious? Or let us say, someone says, can you tell me how to come to downtown Dallas, and you start saying, yes, go straight, go left, and he says, I don't believe you. Will you continue to explain? No, you said, please go somewhere else, you know, where you can, I'm putting it now in a little funny way, where you can have some faith, or where you can surrender to the instructions which you hear. So how will Krishna deal with conditioned souls who just persistently show that they don't have faith because they don't do what Krishna tells them? They don't surrender to his instructions. He will not listen to the prayers any longer because they don't mean it, what they asked. They don't. So this Shraddha should and must become visible. You can test yourself. Are you surrendering to Krishna, my dear devotees? If you do, which I believe all of you do, then you will surrender to Krishna. Huh? You can check yourself. It will be natural for you to follow what Krishna says. You will be a surrendered soul. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati speaks about this point. He says, one who prays, O Krishna, I do not desire any personal happiness from you. My God, this is high. Whatever you desire, I accept it with all sincerity. Even if I have to suffer for that, that is my happiness. O all auspicious one, there's no inauspiciousness in your arrangement. So when you become sincerely devoted to Krishna, your way, not my way. In Germany we learn, when we learn English, we learn how the Americans say, your way, no, my way or the highway. We learn this in school. You know, we are, this is how we learn English in Germany, proverbs and so on. but in Krishna consciousness, we say not my way or the highway. We say your way should happen. And then I will nicely go on the road to Krishna consciousness. You know, this is a very important thing. So a devotee who wants to have faith, wants to develop faith and strengthen his faith, he must read the Shastra and he must follow the Shastra and then become a surrendered soul. This is as far as we can go today. There's a third part on this Shraddha, which is, I find, the most fascinating part. We will hear how we should apply our faith to the process of bhakti. But I will not talk about it because otherwise we suffer from an overdose of information. Let me now summarize the information which we have dealt with in this lecture and extract a principle from there which we can take outside of the temple room and follow it in our lives for improved bhakti. Yeah? The idea in what we have heard from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that the only qualification and therefore the necessary qualification to enter bhakti is Shraddha. This Shraddha must first be placed in the scriptures. Or also in the sadhus who tell according to the Shastras, the information. But you must develop Shastriya Shraddha. That is faith in the Shraddha. The other Shraddha is called Lokika Shraddha, that is the faith in the ordinary things of the world. That is not, doesn't bring you out of the world to Krishna. Shastriya Shraddha, following the revealed word of the Shastra, is how you can make advancement. This will turn will bring about that rare jewel in our life which we all aspire for, but which sometimes sometimes seems so hard to get, so far away, so distant, more distant than the moon, that the surrender. It comes when you read in the Shraddha, in the scriptures. And our very, very, let me say, provocating request to you is, please do this. I would say, do it for 3 months. Give it 3 months of your life. That's nothing, 3 months. To read every day. You must do it nityam, regularly, in the Bhagavatam. It's very important. There you will see how Shraddha will come. Shraddha is, by the mercy of the scripture, it's called Shastra Kripa. By the mercy of the scripture, the Shraddha will come in your heart. Every day, without fail, minimum one verse. My dear devotees, we have in Switzerland, we had a very interesting, retreat, just on the Bhagavatam. And we have read much verses from the Bhagavatam, much verses from different Puranas about reading the Bhagavatam. And at the end, we said, so, you will not be allowed to come to the next retreat, you know, if you don't read every day a minimum of one verse. I had to apply some pressure because, you know, devotees are sometimes not so good in their spiritual practice. These were also for non-devotees. And I said, and I expect from you, after 2 weeks, a written report of your experience. Yeah, teachers can be like that. The reports came, and they said, you saved our life. We never thought that this would work. But because we wanted to come to the next retreat, and we know you can read minds, and we can't cheat you, so therefore we have requested you. We had to read. I'm getting the reports from very unlikely candidates. There's one man who owned 3 slaughterhouses. Yes. And he got the Bhagavad Gita from Srila Prabhupada, and then he didn't want to follow that. But after 1 month, there was his luxurious car. Money you make in Kali Yuga with meat, weapons, and drugs. Huh? So he was very rich. And don't do this. I'm saying this is how the demons do this. So he was very rich, had a rich car, and he had this Gita of Prabhupada, and he just said, I'm putting it away. I don't follow this. I don't read it any longer. It's too disturbing for my profession. So that one day came, which turned everything around. He was supposed to go to his car, where the chauffeur, do we say chauffeur in English? The chauffeur waited, and he somehow felt, don't go. And he went back into his office and sent the man under him, I don't know how to say it. And he went in the car started to drive, and exploded after 20 meters. The chauffeur and the man under him, and of course the car, were all killed. Wow! When he had read in the Gita, and somehow in him a certain faith all of a sudden developed. Oh, he thought, now, this was meant for me, but my men under me had to stand in for me. And was killed in my stead. You know, instead of me. Oh no! I must change my life. And he took out the Gita. He started to read it, and he came to the retreat on the Bhagavatam, and he has promised to also read, and he has informed that his life is changing. Because, you know,
Don't see the scriptures as
just some words.
It's Krishna's mercy in there. And therefore, the Chaitanya Charitamrita speaks of Shastra Kripa, the mercy of the scriptures. They can give mercy, these scriptures, to you, so that your life turns wonderful. So kindly read this. So when you leave the room, you start to forget everything, then keep this in mind. One verse a day, I will try for 3 months. I will try.
Yesterday I spoke to a devotee, and the devotee said to me, "Your lecture was so good." I said, "Yeah, what in the lecture particularly caught your interest?" "Oh Maharaj, it's Kali Yuga, I forget everything, but it's in the computer." I will tell you the summary of the lecture. Sit down, take your notepad, but you need to learn things. We can't live this superficial spiritual life, that my spiritual life is in the computer. It doesn't work like that. You must start living the things properly. I'm ending now this lecture. Thank you very much. I want to say one sentence regarding your speaker. The reason why I'm putting a little intensity in my lectures is to move you. I'm trying to be a humble soul, and when I step down from this seat, I will not say such things, you know. I'm just trying to move you a little bit to think, to make you think a little bit. Please forgive me. I'm a small man who uses big words in his small mouth. That's not good. I have this conviction, my dear devotees, that all of you are special souls, and if you just apply the process properly, you will be enlightened souls very soon. I have this deep conviction because I have seen it works at working this principle. So please take from this lecture always something to apply in your life, and then you will learn. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Let us now see if there is any short question. Nityananda Prabhu.
I have a comment prior to the
next. Yes.
Sorry, I'm being impudent, but the comment is, Maharaj, that you were saying that you felt that yesterday's program, there was some special mercy that we all received. I felt yesterday that as a result of all of the wonderful devotees who have come here, and led by yourself and His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj and Mr. Lotus Swami Maharaj, our community got a significant shift, upward momentum shift in its Christian consciousness. I want to use the word catapulted. Like catapulted, you know how?
Catapulted, yes.
Catapulted. Catapulted yesterday. We saw what happened yesterday. And of course, today is the carry on the icing. It's like, you know, the carry on the icing, now you've got it complete with your lecture today. I want to thank you very much for taking the trouble to come here. It's not an easy project. You have many places, many devotees who love you so much. They do much more for you than we can ever hope to do. But we definitely felt great mercy coming from you and other Maharajas as well. And all of the devotees who came, actually, each and every one of the devotees was so sweet. Generally, Dallas, they say that the devotees in Dallas are very welcoming. But I think this time the guests defeated us. they were sweeter than our lot. And so it helped our community so much that on behalf of our ladies and our community, I can say that we can never repay the debt to you much. And to the other Maharajas also who are here.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My request was going to be that we heard two parts of the Shalada. And the third part, if you do one of two things, preferably come back again and speak to us again if you can at some point, sooner or later, or actually speak as the Sada Sangha about the third part.
Then we would
have got the third part as well. We'd like to receive the full message. Because our consciousness is very dim. Our skins are very thick. Yeah, especially for myself, I want to be used to a coconut head.
No.
Hearing your full message, I hope to have some benefit from what you have said. But we can never repay what you have said.
Thank you.
You're
embarrassing me.
We wish you very happiness, Mark.
Thank you.
Your happiness is all good. It's all good. Thank you very much.
Krishna. Now I must thank you very much, Nityananda Prabhu, and also the community. It is very, very welcoming. I'm staying at the house of Padma and Durashai and Hari Prabhu, and we feel like in the kingdom of God. Everything is there, and thank you very much. And I asked Sharanga Thakur, who's for the first time in America, how do you like America? And he said, I can't really say because I'm in the kingdom of God here. It's such a wonderful temple and the deity. Oh, deity is so present. Did you see yesterday when he was not dressed so much? How his body, woo, wonderful, so attractive. And we feel very, very overwhelmed by his beauty. There was one Russian poet, Dostoevsky, he said, beauty will conquer the world. And I think he was thinking of Radha, Shishi Radha Kalang Chanchi. Krishna. Good. Oh, Hare Krishna, I thought I'm oh, Maharaj is also here. Hare Krishna. So let us end here because time is also there. We have to go to the Sadhu Sangha retreat. Maybe invite all of you to join us in Austin. It would be wonderful to come. If you can come at least for 1 or 2 days, that would be very nice. And thank you so much. All the best, and now we will quickly jump into our cars. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Radha Kala Chanji ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari.